This episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hears from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance. Helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM. Let's create.
Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff. Lauren Vogelbaum here. Samuel F.B. Morse was a successful businessman and a presidential portrait artist. But above all else, he's remembered for his eponymous Morse code, an elegant system that revolutionized communications back in the 1800s. Even in the heyday of Silicon Valley and social media, there's still a place for this well-worn code. Just ask the U.S. Navy. It's one of the languages that cryptologic technicians learn while training at the Center for Information Dominance. As a forerunner to email, text messages, and other near-instant messaging media, we think Morse code deserves a tip of the hat. So today, let's tell the story. Parts of Samuel Morse's backstory read like a tragic Hollywood screenplay. He was born in Massachusetts on April 27th of 1791. A professional painter, Morse found himself working on a portrait of the Marquis de Lafayette in 1825. The job had taken him to Washington, D.C., where he received a devastating letter. According to the dispatch, his young wife had died back at their home in New Haven, Connecticut. Worse, by the time Morse got this message, it was too late for him to return in time for her funeral. She was laid to rest without him. Such was the pace of most long-distance communications in those days, but Morse was one of the entrepreneurs leading the way into the future. He was one of the developers of the first telegraphs built in the 1830s. To call any lone scientist or inventor the father of this technical breakthrough would be misleading. Morse was just one of the visionaries behind the telegraph's early development. Despite his limited scientific background, Morse had a real passion for electricity. In 1837, he showcased a prototypical telegraph that he had built at a public demonstration. Like all telegraphs, his sent out pulses of electric current via wire. The pulses would make their way into a receiver. But this is where Samuel Morse's famous code came into play. Morse's telegraph couldn't transmit voices or written characters. Yet, by capitalizing on those electric pulses, he devised a new way to send simply coded messages. He did have a brilliant partner by the name of Alfred Vail, who helped him refine and expand the system. Under the code, every letter in the English language, along with most punctuation marks and each digit from 0 through 9, was given a unique, corresponding set of short and long pulses. Long pulses came to be known as dashes, while the short ones are called dots. In this early iteration of the code, some dashes lasted longer than others, and the spaces between pulses varied widely depending on the context. Morse soon got the chance to show off his electric cipher. In 1843, Congress gave him a $30,000 grant to build an experimental long-distance telegraph between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, Maryland. The moment of truth came on May 24th of 1844. Sitting in the U.S. Capitol's Supreme Court chamber, Morse sent a coded message along to Vail, who was waiting in Baltimore at the other end of the line. Morse had his message ready. At the suggestion of a friend's daughter, he transmitted a quote from the biblical Book of Numbers. "What hath God wrought?" A little intense, but perhaps appropriately so. Long-distance telegraph lines spread like wildfire over the next few decades. So did Samuel Morse's code. During the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln used it to keep abreast of battlefield developments. And when Western Union completed the first transcontinental telegraph line in 1861, Lincoln received its first message, a dispatch sent all the way from San Francisco to D.C. But meanwhile, as Morse code took hold in other countries, problems emerged. To address these, a German telegraph inspector simplified the system in 1848. Among other changes, he did away with the extra-long dashes and revised many of the individual number and letter codes. After some additional tweaks were made, this new edition was dubbed International Morse Code. Meanwhile, the original version was retroactively labeled American Morse Code. Outside of Civil War reenactments, the latter is all but distinct today. In the International Code, a dash's pulse is three times longer than that of a dot. Each letter in the English alphabet is coded with a combination of 1 to 4 dashes and dots. Each numeral, 0 through 9, is coded with a combination of 5 dashes and dots. If you're dealing with a letter that features multiple dots and or dashes, there should be a pause equivalent to the length of 1 dot in between those components. The pauses that separate entire letters are longer, equal to a dash or 3 dots. And individual words should be divided by even longer pauses, measuring 7 dots long. Perhaps the most iconic Morse code phrase is SOS. A universally recognized distress signal, SOS was first adopted as such by German telegraphers in the year 1905. But why did they pick this particular letter combo? It's because in International Morse code, S is 3 dots and O is 3 dashes. And dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot is an easy sequence to remember, even when you're in grave peril. However, although Morse code was explicitly designed for the telegraph, people have used it in lots of other ways. With the dawn of radio telegraph machines in the 1890s, coded messages could travel via radio waves. And it can be used visually, too. Beginning in 1867, ships began using onboard blinker lights to flash Morse signals at each other. Then there's the case of Jeremiah Denton, Jr., an American Navy pilot and future senator. He was captured during the Vietnam War. In a forced appearance on North Vietnamese television, Denton was coerced into saying that his captors were treating him well behind enemy lines. But his eyes told a different story. By blinking in sequence, he used Morse code to spell out the word torture. Later in the 20th century, the code was largely phased out. The U.S. Coast Guard hasn't used it in an official capacity since 1995. And modern ships are far more reliant on satellite communication systems. However, the U.S. Navy, as mentioned above, is still training its intelligence specialists in the code. Another group that's showing it some love is the International Morse Code Preservation Society, a coalition of amateur radio operators with thousands of members around the globe. So while the golden age of dots and dashes may be over, Morse's code is still hanging in there. No distress signal is required. Today's episode is based on the article How Morse Code Works and Still Lives On in the Digital Age on HowStuffWorks.com, written by Mark Mancini. BrainStuff is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with HowStuffWorks.com and is produced by Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.